looking at the package that's actually been put on the table so far by the federal government, what kind of areas is this one mostly looking to shore up within the aviation and tourism industry? I mean, we know they've been hit hard, but in terms of the areas this one is actually addressing, what is the government trying to achieve?
We need to look at this policy in many different angles. At the moment, what the government did, particularly last year, to try to maintain a minimum of air service operation, it's a series of supportive schemes that would vary from, you know, reducing fees and giving support for infrastructure, giving support to regional airlines. What the government is trying to do now is doing that whilst we still change the behavior of the passengers. The program is very much an interstate program. As you remember, Sean, the biggest problem we had was the fact that the borders could close, the interstate borders would close very easily. So the government is trying to shift from the regional, most of them like a car trip to the regions, to make the tourists go back in the habit of flying interstate.
In terms of impact, the $1.2 billion scheme, is this going to be enough to kind of shore up the losses we've seen over COVID?
Probably will not, but with the government hoping to open up the international borders in October, this is an opportunity for Australians to start traveling within Australia, but as I said earlier, shifted from the regional perspective to an interstate approach. When we examine the regions, the origins of those flights, you know, the markets like Sydney have 10 routes out of Sydney, 10 routes out of Melbourne, 4 routes out of Adelaide, 3 from Brisbane. So what the government is trying to do is to make sure that part of the wealth in some of the regions are transferred to the typical destination areas of northern Queensland, the Gold Coast, Sunny Coast, Northern Territory, where you would have the international travelers, but we do not have. So it's trying to support this with domestic travel.
And of course, as you say there, as you pointed out there, this is relying on a behaviour change for Australians that are eligible for this scheme, rather than a direct injection of cash into some of these industries. We're looking at changing the behaviour and supporting that with a little bit of money on the side, you know. But obviously, a lot of that support is going to come from the Australians taking advantage of the scheme themselves, and you know, it's just sort of a sweetener when you've encouraged people to go ahead. Do you think this is enough to kind of change people's behaviours? We are rather hungry, I think, for travel after COVID, but do you think this is enough to kind of say, to get people off their couch and say, yes, okay, well, I hadn't considered an interstate holiday before, but now this deal kind of makes sense to me?
Price is a significant motivator for people to change their behaviour. Travel is competing with many other possible ways of spending money. You can renovate a kitchen rather than going and fly internationally. So when you offer a discount for airlines, what you're doing is that you are facilitating the opportunity for people to go from one region to another region. There's no direct support to the hotels. There's no direct support to the coffee shops in this scheme, because until then, they have received support through JobKeeper and other programs, as I've mentioned, directly to the aviation and airport sector. So what the government is trying to do is to persuade people that have been saving to travel overseas to actually have a holiday in Australia, help those regions. I mean, it was very sad to see some of regions here in Queensland, like Cairns, where the operators are, you know, running business with 30-40% of their capacity. You know, Cairns was during most of the COVID a ghost town. So whilst, you know, the intrastate, the Brisbane to Cairns route was actually the busiest in the country, that is not enough. We need to expand those markets to Melbourne, Sydney, and beyond as well. And that's exactly what the government is trying to do.
In terms of the criticisms, we've seen that a lot of these routes and a lot of these sort of these tourism vouchers and the like are heading towards marginal electorates for the actual government themselves. That this is a way of shoring up support and doing a little bit maybe of pork barreling in some of these marginal electorates to sort of push the cash their way and hope they remember at the next election. Do we have a real indication of how the routes and how the packages were actually selected as part of this initiative?
Well, that's a fair point, Sean. You know, everything these days get, politicized, even the vaccine gets politicized and so forth. At the end of the day, there is a correlation between the economic struggles of regions in Australia and a relationship between the debate and the division of debate from the two major parties in the country. So we see that very clear in regional Queensland, and we see in other regions of the country. You know, so those seats in the cities are a lot more stable than those in the regions, because there's actually a shift in economic development from those regions in Australia. They've been neglected. So that is a bit of like a coincidence in the fact that the marginal seats, it's struggling from an economic point of view, and we've known that they've been neglected for many, many years. So yes, they could have been politicized, but the fact is that anyone who is across the tourism sector will tell you that those operators are struggling. And if the JobKeeper is reduced, we need to find another mechanism to support the industry.
And just finally, assuming this one is a success, if we do see sort of a success for the aviation and tourism industry, and we see sort of satisfaction amongst the Australians that have kind of been eligible for it, could you see this one being expanded? And you have any idea of what that might look like?
I don't see this being expanded, for the reason being is that if we are going back to a normalized environment where people can again fly freely within Australia and at some point overseas, this is shifting from a support from the broader economy as we had before to a policy that tries to change behavior. We became too comfortable in many aspects as a result of the pandemic. And this is an opportunity for us to reset and for people to, reconsider. Remember those days that we used to do those things about 2 years ago. Let's start doing it again.
Man.
So I think this is a one-off, because hopefully by October, the international borders will be open. And by then, we're not going to be having the domestic borders, shut at any time, because that was a significant problem that we had in the country, Sean.
Well, Guy, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Obviously one, a lot of people interested in getting involved in. I really do appreciate your time.
My pleasure.